sometimes the things that tear us apart are the ones that unite us and bring us closer together. Where there's life, let's keep on dreaming. Where there's love, let's find you meaning. Where there's hope, keep on believing.
A message from Sagicor.
Good afternoon to Tessa Chatterton Shaw, the host of Mental Health Matters. Hi, Tessa, how are you?
I'm well. I am not sure if you're a dad, but if you are,
yes,
happy Father's Day to you.
Ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
And I want to welcome all Barbadians and listeners, both here and abroad, to Mental Health Matters. I want to say thanks to all of you who call in, and there are several people who message me privately, and that's very uplifting. But today is a day to celebrate dads, and so I extend a very happy Father's Day to all fathers. And I want to say this, there are some mothers who father, and there are some fathers who mother, and they're all, you know, stepdads and everything in between, because we now have many blended families. Before I introduce my guests, I just want to say that how important it is for a father, a father plays a very critical role in the life of a child. And children need their dads, and they need their dads to be dedicated, to be committed, engaged, and loving, because they're the first male role models that child patterns his or her behavior from. Having two daughters, you know, my parenting is serious business. My guest actually has four children. So let me introduce her, get straight to the point. Allison, I want to thank you for being here. Today, we're looking at treatment and rehabilitation with special emphasis on Verdon House and Marina House. But Allison was born and bred in the United Kingdom. She is a qualified counselor with over 10 years experience in the field of addiction. She has worked with at-risk youth for 5 years at what is known as CASA, the Center for Counseling Addiction Support Alternatives. And she did start her counseling career at the Substance Abuse Foundation and worked her way up through the ranks and is now Director of Clinical Services, overseeing a clinical team. She is passionate about empowering others to change their lives, and a mother of four who strongly believes in using dynamic and innovative ways to engage others. She's also a life coach. Allison, welcome to Mental Health Matters.
Thank you, Tessa. Thank you so much for the invitation. And I just want to re-emphasize just a happy Father's Day to Oliver, I believe, in the studio, and all the men, the father figures. You know, what would we do without these men who really do step up to the plate? I appreciate every single one of you, those at Verdon House. And it's just a privilege and an honor to be on your show today. So well done. Happy Father's Day to all of those tuning in today.
Great. So, Allison, we continue to last week. My guest was from the National Council on Substance Abuse. And today I want to go a little deeper now, and to examine substance abuse and its relationship to mental health. And particularly at this time, many of us are in great need due to the effects of COVID-19, you know, job loss. There's family friction because of this, family dysfunction, anxiety, depression, paranoia, overthinking, illness, and death. And life is simply not the same. And one of the means of coping for many people is to drink it all away. Drink it, you know, knock back a few, or to use illegal drugs, which of course can lead to an addiction or alcoholism. And if we spiral down even further, we may be incarcerated or we may even die.
Correct.
So, Allison, tell us about the role of Verdon House and Marina House. You mentioned to me y'all had done some rebranding. So yes. Maybe you can speak a little bit about that.
Okay. So the role of Verdon and Marina House, some of you may be aware that Verdon House is actually celebrating 22 years. So we've been up and running for 22 years. What we do is we provide residential care for those who are battling the disease of addiction. In 2015, we actually then opened up Marina House, which focuses on the females of, you know, female clients who are battling the disease of addiction. The role that we play, a lot of people know the Substance Abuse Foundation, and therefore sometimes people think, well, you go up to Verdon House when you get into trouble, if you know you're in court, and we just solely deal with addiction. But what we've seen, especially throughout COVID-19, is that we were inundated with calls coming in for persons who, you said, Tessa, are just going through stressful times, challenging times, questioning, you know, their parenting skills. You know, you have people who might be living together but don't really know each other until COVID struck. And that level of uncertainty has had an impact on persons. We had been in the wings thinking about diversifying our treatment services, but that was just the icing on the cake. So we had to diversify our treatment services to deal with those who are maybe just going through a crisis. You don't have to get in trouble before you utilize the services of Verdon and Marina House. It's just a matter of us saying, you know what, we understand and we're here to help. So those who might be battling depression, anxiety, maybe just frustrated young persons, you know, we've just started a teen intervene, which means that we deal with young people now who are going through, who might be at risk and who are going through maybe challenging times with all the isolation that has happened, trying to reintegrate back into school, and all of those things that adolescents do go through. So it was key that we diversified our services. And unfortunately, addiction does carry a stigma. When people hear that, they may think, well, addiction only applies to one certain section of society. But I'm here to say, as I always say, is that addiction is no respecter of persons. And addiction does fall under mental health. We need to stop looking at it as a moral failure and start seeing it as a brain disease.
Right. In terms of modifying your scope of work, are you saying then that you were offering counseling to people who were suffering from different levels of anxiety and they were not necessarily residential?
Exactly. So it's open now to non-residential clients. So anyone who needs help, anyone going through things, I'm talking about domestic violence, where there was an increase and we saw an increase in terms of that. Persons who were having parenting issues, who might just be going through a crisis, job losses. So we have set up a 24-hour manned helpline that is there just to help persons. You don't have to sign in. You don't have to give your proper name. It is fine. We just realized that as an organization that we've got the skills and the expertise here at Verdon and Marina House, and it's key to help these individuals so that we can actually navigate through this time of uncertainty, a better community. So it was key. We have diversified our treatment services. We now reach young people. And the reason that we started to reach young people is that the research that we have done over the past 5 or 6 years shows that persons who do come into treatment, that they were open to adverse childhood experiences as young as 6 and 7 years old and 8 years old. And whilst our mandate is treatment, we have to also look at prevention and intervention. So these are key things that have allowed us to diversify our treatment services.
Okay. By the way, I think you should give us that helpline number.
Definitely. The hotline number is 243-0038. That's 243-0038. As I said, it's manned 24 hours a day, and there's no commitment to it. You just call and someone will you know, help you, guide you, direct you, and also maybe recommend that you be part of our wellness clinic, which is open to those who are going through challenging times and need more one-on-one counseling services.
That is so important, and you certainly had to pivot. Yes. I've often felt that when people are in crisis, well, it's clear that it's not necessary. It's not between 8:30 and 4:30. It's after hours. It's on weekends, especially long weekends, celebratory times like Christmas and Easter. Even today, there's some of us who don't have our dads,
correct,
like me. You know,
yeah,
I miss mine. Mm-hmm. And so I am really delighted to hear that you have modified your service and that it's also 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Correct. It's okay.
So how have people been responding to this hotline?
We have been inundated. It was, you know, we've had the helpline for a while, probably about 3 years, but the increase in the amount of persons calling is astonishing. From that, we realized that what we're doing now is actually what we call You Are Not Alone Zoom drop-in center. So Wednesdays between the hours of 6 to 8, persons can just log in on Zoom. They can be, you know, there's no breach of confidentiality. And we're really trying to promote that community spirit where one person helps another. We facilitate it, but persons are coming in. We have to admit and understand that mental wellness is so key. If we're going to get through this and all the other crises that are going on in society and the world at large, it is key that we understand that we have to become our brother's keeper. We have to start opening up and asking for help. I know sometimes it goes against our culture. You know, it's sometimes hard for men to ask for help. Sometimes the females want to just, you know, be independent and say, I've got this sorted. But actually just reaching out and knowing that there's some person there who's not going to cast any judgment, who you don't even have to give your name to, is confidential. That is so key for us to get through this time.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier that resonated with me about people living together but not necessarily knowing each other. Talk to me about that. Allison?
Seemed to be getting a little bit of a technical issue. Allison, we're going to try to get you out.
Allison, I lost you.
Yes.
You said something earlier about in relation to domestic violence and that there were people who live together but don't necessarily know each other. And I found that to be such an interesting statement.
Tessa, it is unbelievable. I think COVID, well, not even I think, I know that COVID really pushed persons together who might be living under the same house, but, you know, one's going to work, when one comes in, one may be going out to do another activity. So what we found was a lot of relationship issues, whether that was between intimate partners or whether that was between parents and children, because then certain things started coming into question. I don't know this person, and here we are forced together in a very stressful environment. How are we going to cope? And I really do need to connect with this person to ensure that we come out the other side healthy, grounded, and still strong in our relationship. So it is key. It has been very key, yes.
Okay. Now, many people don't understand the distinction between experimentation, use, abuse, and addiction. And you talked about addiction being a brain disease. So can you just clarify for the benefit of the public those different stages?
Sure. So experimenting in any mood altering substance is exactly what it says. Persons, especially young persons, may just be curious. There may not be any major issues going on in their life. It may not be a coping mechanism, but it may just be out of curiosity. Whether that's alcohol, whether that's marijuana, whether that's cocaine, etc., it may just be that they're just trying it out of curiosity. What tends to happen is that they're able to use and then put down with very little impact. The concern is when it starts escalating and you start using it more than you should. So for example, that tends to happen a lot with prescription drugs and things like alcohol. So you start abusing it. So rather than just having it at the weekend, when, you know, a couple of glasses of wine out with a friend, you start realizing that you're drinking by yourself. You start realizing that, you know, it's starting to creep up. The weekend seems extra long. Your weekend starts on a Thursday. Right. When we go into full-blown addiction, it means that it becomes compulsive and obsessive. You cannot live without that. That's whether it's a legal drug or an illegal drug. So, you know, whether it's alcohol, whether it's crack cocaine, whether it is prescription drugs, it is compulsive, it's obsessive, it interrupts your day-to-day living. You know, job losses can be an output of that. You may find yourself being very lethargic, unable, or lack of motivation, being unable to work. You may find that you start doing things that you said you would never do. And that's why I said addiction is no respecter of persons. We need to move from our mindsets to think that it's somebody, you know, looking through the bin in Nelson Street. In my job, in my role, I've seen every strata of society impacted. And it's so key for us. And when I say us, I include myself as Barbadians, to really wake up and to really be honest and understand that addiction is everyone's problem. It's not just the person next door. It's a we problem.
Yeah, I agree totally with you. That's when our lives have become unmanageable.
Correct.
And unraveling that is not easy. Mm-hmm. So I know Verdant House is for men. And yes. Marina House is for women. So can you tell us what is a typical profile? I know you said they're from all strata of society, but are there certain key factors that surface with a male or female or you?
Tessa, there is no profile. I wish there was. I wish there was at times, because then we would have the answer for every single situation. But there really isn't. As I mentioned before, we have done extensive research, and that's why I think this organization is so key. What we found is that we can't just say, well, it is just those who are between the ages of 20 to 35, because the last 2 years we've seen an increase in residential clients who are over the age of 60, right? If we say, well, it is just persons who come in, they're just ones who are drinking alcohol. No, we see alcohol, marijuana, we see cocaine, powdered cocaine, crack cocaine, psychoactive drugs, you know, the ketamines, etc. So it's really, there is no profile. And that's how I can stand here and say addiction is no respecter of persons. There's not one person who can say that, well, you know, this is a standard of a typical client. No, that's why we saw the need of opening up Marina House, because before it was always used to be thought of, well, it's normally the men who have the issues with addiction and with drug use and using mood altering substances, but the females are going through it. What happens is that females may tend to, go through that cycle of addiction longer than men, but they're definitely there.
Okay. Alison, we have to take a break to play an ad, but I will, after the ad, then we'll talk a little bit more about getting someone into treatment.
No problem.
And Mental Health Matters comes to you with the kind compliments of Sagicor Financial Corporation.
Sometimes I think the tears apart are the ones that unite us and bring us closer together. Sometimes the darkest tonight turns into a day so bright. Scars and the pain, everything that we fear behind us. Where there is life, let's keep on dreaming. Where there is love, let's find you meaning. Where there is hope, keep on believing. Keep holding on. So never give up through wind and storm, cause after the rain, there'll be a calm.
A message from Sagicor.
20 minutes after 3 o'clock, and we are back with Mental Health Matters. Our host, Tessa Chatterton Shaw, and her guest today, Mrs. Alison Gotip. Hi, Tessa.
Right. Thanks, Oliver. So, Alison, a lot of people believe that, you know, the family members may, or parents may have a child who they obviously know there's a problem, whether that's, you know, excessive alcohol use or excessive drug use, and certain behaviors are being displayed that are out of the ordinary, withdrawal from family life, and lives, as I said, becoming unmanageable. How does one, people sometimes think, well, I can take him or her to Verdon House, you know, I can, you know, how do you get an individual into treatment?
Okay. So
can you force an individual? Can you coerce? You know, do they go kicking and screaming? What's the best approach?
Okay. So entering into Verdon and Marina House, a person would need to go to a psychiatric hospital. And I know when people hear that, you know, they start saying, oh no, I don't want to go there. One of the, if I can call it, benefits of COVID-19 has meant that whereas before persons would need to go in and spend, you know, several days at a psychiatric hospital, now they don't need to do that. What they do, they go into the assessment unit at the psychiatric hospital, and within a couple of hours, they'll get an assessment and a referral to Verdon and Marina House should they find themselves eligible to come into treatment. All that we require from that is to do a COVID-19 PCR test, and we will do our own assessment in-house once you come up to Verdon or Marina House. Kicking and screaming never works. You do need to have somebody, the person, the potential client needs to have some sort of buy-in. And what we have done in diversifying our treatment services is now we have an intervention team. So I know sometimes people initially are resistant to come into residential care, and therefore we do have a dedicated team who actually will come to the person's house with their support system, whether that's family or friends, and have a conversation with that person and seeing that people are genuinely concerned. And all we're looking for is that opening door where some person just says, you know what, I just need help. It's so key, especially in addiction, when that person cries out for help. As I said, it's compulsive, it's obsessive, it is, you know, filled, and you know that you shouldn't be doing it, but you are doing, your body's crying out for it. And in that desperation, sometimes people say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And it's so key that at Verdon and Marina House, we act quickly. So it is so key that we allow that person to come into residential. Now, we do have persons who might not be ready to come into residential, and that's why we have an outpatient service too, which means that they can access treatment on a weekly basis, or we have what we call a day program, so they can come in and still go home once they're home safe and someplace where it's conducive to them being in treatment. So we have many ways that you can come in. Once they give us a call, we act. You know, we're like the Ghostbusters. We just act because it's so important, because saving a person who is going through the disease of addiction, it's not just that individual, it's a family, it's a community that becomes safe and becomes more settled. Saving one person has an impact, research shows, on about 12 persons. So it's key that once that person asks for help, as I said, it's non-judgmental, we will work with you.
Yeah, and that window of opportunity when the client is in a state of readiness is sometimes so tiny that I'm happy to hear you say that interventions are even done at the level of the home, because sometimes you need to have a family session to say, well, you know, we can't continue like this. We can't continue to have you stealing. We can't continue to have you smoking and all the negative behaviors that come with it.
Exactly. And within the family, we don't realize that family or the support system become part of that addiction cycle. So they become as if they are, you know, battling the disease of addiction too. And so it is really key that we ensure that the family are on board and they also get their help too.
Okay. We're having a little technical Okay. So once a client decides that, first of all, I wanted to ask about Marina House, and I was there when it was opened, and it was a very delightful moment for me that it had taken us so long to dedicate a service to women. Women have been underserved for so long. I was at there at the beautiful location in Newcastle, St. John. How have women responded to Marina House, and are they able to take their children, let's say if they're minors?
Yes, they have responded very well. As I would have implied previously, women, there are some barriers that stop women coming into residential treatment, one being childcare. What we have done is we have accepted females in with minor children, and we've been able to work around, because what we don't want is to form or to create any dysfunction, further dysfunction in that family unit. We also need to respect the fact that that connection and that bond, that the child may have also been exposed to things that may have been unhealthy, and they need to be part of that treatment process. We also work very hard, closely with the child care board. And what's so exciting, Tess, and you do need to come up now, is that we have, on the same compound as Marina, opened up Marina Family Centre. Now, that was opened last year, and that was primarily for the client's children. When they came to visit, if they didn't stay, they came to visit, they would have a child-friendly place to stay. But what we have done also now is made that our wellness clinic, where you can do our teen intervene. The adolescents have come. We have done Confident Me camps. We have been able to have family sessions in this family center. So we understand that addiction is not the individual, as I said before. So Marina House has been open. It's very much established. It's a smaller setup than the male facility, but it's really got a homely feeling, and we have excellent clinicians there who are able to be very gender specific with the programming.
Right. So what you're speaking about is a holistic approach that must incorporate all members of the family and not just the individual.
Correct.
So tell us, what is we are trying to make in this process of recovery and rehabilitation? We are trying to make unmanageable lives manageable, trying to get an individual back on track, back to work, back to family, back to managing their lives in a positive way. What is a typical day like for a client at Verdon or Marina House?
Seem to have lost you slightly, Alison. There you are.
Okay.
Alison, yes. Did you hear my question?
I didn't hear the last part, Tessa.
Yeah, I said we are obviously, you know, our goal, your goal is to make lives more manageable, lives that were in disarray, lives that were chaotic, causing stress in the family. So what is a typical day like for a client at Verdon or Marina House?
Okay, a typical day is that, and I'm glad you mentioned the holistic approach. A typical day is that, unfortunately, for some of them, they do wake up early. The reason we say waking up early is just to start your day right, because we are preparing some who might not have been able to keep a job, or those who might have been very delinquent in their jobs, to actually start the day right, which means that they would do meditation in the morning. And that meditation can look different depending on person's spiritual background. But we always set the day right. We have individual counseling sessions. We do group therapy. There's lots of creative arts, which is not just drawing. You know, it's really tapping in to body movement. There is experiential work that we do, which is basically tapping into the subconscious. There is activity in terms of making sure that they go on hikes, that you get those endorphins, you know, trying to look after your weight, being well mentally. What's really exciting is that we've now partnered with Pushing Acres. So we do animal therapy, which is key for many persons thinking about someone outside of yourself. And research does show that working with animals is really a healing for that person. We also do what we call ecotherapy, so always keep them going out into nature. So they really do have a packed but very therapeutic day, most days. They do have their downtime, but that is also what's also included is that, you know, we do work closely with NA and AA groups to ensure that they have that connection when they leave residential treatment, and that we also have persons who are willing to share their stories and to encourage other persons who are going through similar issues.
Yeah, what has always impressed me when I visit your locations, and I've been to Verdon House quite often with my students, is the rustic, calming environment, you know, both at Poole in St. John and at Newcastle in St. John. And I would think that that what should I say?
It lends itself.
Bucolic and rustic and green environment is also healing, not so?
Yeah, definitely. It really does lend itself, because I always say it's a place that you can press pause, where you can actually step out of your day-to-day life and just really relax and take time out to just become more self-aware, become, you know, having someone who can help you to develop further. Because I think we all have this innate feature in us, knowing that, you know what, my life is not going the way I really want it to go. And that's why it's important. I know I keep on going back to our treatment services. We even do weekend retreats. So we do have persons who just come for the weekend, because it's such idyllic location, both Verdon and Marina, where they can just simply step out of everyday life, work one-on-one with a counselor and do some work on themselves and just take a breather.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, in terms of treatment and people presenting with a multiplicity of issues, and you clearly outline that people come from all strata of society. Mm-hmm. What types of treatment modalities are used? Because am I correct in saying that it cannot be a one-size-fits-all
approach? Definitely not. Yes, we're all human beings, but what works for me would not necessarily work for you. We do so many different interventions, and I would have mentioned some of them. Experiential is one where you're really tapping into the subconscious. So it's more than just doing talk therapy, which is someone sitting down there speaking to you. And of course, talk therapy is great. But for some persons who have gone through their life not really being able to express their emotions or really even be aware of their emotions, it's really key sometimes to tap into that subconscious through other means, whether that's through art, whether that's through body movement, etc. Another thing that we actually do, and I would have mentioned it before, in terms of adverse childhood experiences, some of the childhood experiences that persons have gone through have become very detrimental. So it's really important that we do a lot of trauma work. We sit down and we look through what persons have gone through in their past. Some persons are not ready to do that, but some persons are open to be doing that, and that's really key. We do a lot of 12-step work, which is also key. I've found time and time again, I know you're going to have guests later on throughout your episodes in terms of talking about the 12-step program and how it works, and that is really key. We also understand that the spiritual aspect of person's life is really key. So we really do have a holistic approach when it comes to these interventions, residential and non-residential treatment services.
Okay. Apart from the different treatment modalities, what type of professional help can clients receive? Like, is there a psychiatrist? Is there a medical doctor? Is there, you know, suppose I need the advice of a lawyer, you know, my children might be in the custody of someone else, you know,
Exactly. So when they first come in, they will have their individual counselor, but we have family therapists, we have clinical psychologists, we work very closely with psychiatrists, we do have a medical doctor, we have registered nurses, we are able, as I said, we have close relationships with the child care board, we do have a good working relationship with the legal system, the judicial system here in Barbados, and we do have case managers and reintegration officers. So sometimes I'm always saying, when a client comes in, residential or non-residential, we need to set them up for success. What do I mean by success? I mean to have a holistic approach. Every aspect of their life we're looking at. You know, it is very client-centered, but let's be let's be couched in reality. Life on life's terms is really key, because if you're going back to, you know, you have a housing situation, that could exacerbate any challenge that you're going through if it's not sorted out, you know, and we are here to help. And we do have a myriad of services that we do offer to non-residential and residential clients.
Okay. Alison, we have to do some business and promote our sponsor, Sagicor. So give me a few minutes.
And the program Mental Health Matters comes to you with the kind compliments of Sagicor Financial Corporation.
Sometimes it feels that tears apart are the ones that unite us and bring us closer together. Where there is life, let's keep on dreaming. Where there is love, let's find you meaning. Where there is hope, keep on believing. Keep on.
A message from Sagicor.
24 minutes before 4 o'clock, we are back with Mental Health Matters. Remember, the number to call is 434-1790.
So, Alison, going through the treatment process is a big decision, I would think, on the part of any individual.
Definitely.
They're stepping outside of their comfort zone, leaving family, leaving loved ones. I know in some cases, companies that have employee assistance programs would actually support the client's rehabilitation and recovery. What are the various stages? Like, I would imagine it's like a blossom that begins to bloom again, but in a different way. So what is that process like of doing a lot of soul searching and introspection and looking at maybe issues relative to trauma, traumatic child events, traumatic events, period, that would lead one to the stage of addiction or alcoholism?
So if we're talking about residential clients, they first come in, and as we said before, it is one size doesn't fit all. We do say that when they come in, they're in the primary stage of treatment, which means that they can stay there for a maximum of 90 days, which is 3 months, which is very unheard of in the drug treatment, drug rehabilitation programs. Most programs do run for 28 days, but it does show you that the longer that you keep persons connected, better chances of them fully recovering. So it is initially a 90-day program where in that primary setting, they, as I said, would have a counselor. They'd be working, doing, as you said, a lot of soul searching, getting to the core, because as I always say, it's more than putting down the substance, right? Gone are the days where it's just a say no campaign. What's really going on in the individual? It's like a volcano. We're seeing the eruption, we're seeing the manifestation through drug use, alcohol use, etc. But what's going on in the core of that person? How are we able to unravel and to get to the core so that then they have better chances of recovery? After the 90 days, and I'm just speaking on an average, you know, some persons come in for 6 weeks, but after the 90 days, then they do have the clinical team do come together along with the client to discuss whether they should go into what we call continuing care or continue the programming in-house, which is second stage. Second stage is really between 6 to 9 months, where, as we spoke before, we're looking at reintegrating them back into society. So if they have housing needs, you know, they need to find a job. We are accredited TVET center if they need, you know, certain courses, and how we're going to do that, because those first 90 days are really focusing on self. Then we're looking at trying to focus and make sure that they're set up for success. They're looking at all the aspects of their life, housing, jobs, courses, and really developing themselves is really key. If not, some of them, as you would have mentioned, do have jobs and are already working, and so they would go back out into society, but we have a phenomenal program in what we call continuing care. So they will be out back into society, but they will still be able to access a counsel on a weekly basis, and also they have meetings in that continuing care setup with trained counselors and other persons going through other recovery and addicts who will be able to help them for a very long period of time. It does show that once we keep in connection with these people for at least 5 years, that the results of them returning back to mood altering substances is significantly reduced.
So you're saying then that a typical client can be there for a minimum of 3 months, but they could also decide to stay for a year until that process of healing has taken place and they can, so to speak, stand on their 2 feet again and make a meaningful contribution to society.
Correct.
Okay. One of the things that has always impressed me about Verdant House is the therapeutic elements in terms of animals. I remember seeing all sorts of animals. And for me, you know, taking care of animals is extremely healing. And, you know, so do you still have that element to your program? Because mentioned Ocean.
Right. So who are located in St. John. So that's worked really well. Unfortunately, COVID did reduce that, but we have reignited that relationship. So we do see the importance of working with animals. There are persons who would have, you know, worked with the horses, the dogs, the cats, etc. And we do have what we call our recovery dog on site at Marina House, named Second Chance. And so that has really worked. That dog has worked miracles that no counselor could ever do in terms of allowing those women to really care for animal, you know, and that just knowing, and I'm sure Tessa, you're aware of working with animals and then being so intuitive and almost understanding without using words. So it's so key. So we definitely really do promote that. That along with our ecotherapy, being out in nature, has been really key to a lot of development of our residential clients.
I recall seeing many pigs. You still have those pigs. And no, I think what was impressive is that you were able to sell the port and inject it back into your funding, or have they gone?
The pigs have gone, but we're still being as self-sustaining as possible. We have a phenomenal farm programming because they're persons who have agricultural skills and haven't tapped into it, or they have tapped into it, but obviously using, you know, drugs has interrupted that process. So we have a farm program. Chickens, eggs, you know, we grow a lot of spices and, you know, things that could be used not only to sustain our clients here, but also to sell into the market. And we do provide a lot of products to restaurants and food establishments. So it's always about self-sustaining, and it helps the clients to see, you know, I'm going to reap what I sow, giving them the analogy of actually being in a farm and planting and then seeing that come to fruition and how that can be in line with their own life. And if you reap something, you know, if you sow something good, you're going to reap it. So it really has proven to have a strong therapeutic value as well.
Yeah. I want to touch a little bit on the issues of stigma and then confidentiality, because, you know, we still don't realize that mental health is critical to our very day-to-day existence. Mental health doesn't mean madness. Mental health is just our ability to navigate each day. You know, we're going to have good days and bad days, but at least we're going to stay on track. So talk to me about the stigma. And also, people are also always concerned, especially in small Caribbean societies, about confidentiality.
Right. So stigma is still key. We're really trying to debunk that stigma. We work closely with other agencies, NCSA being one of them. And it is crucial because it's about changing our mindsets. And as I started at the beginning of this program, talking about not seeing addiction as a moral failure, mental wellness, as you said, Tessa, is key. And we tend to be have no problem telling persons when we're sick from the neck down. You know, we'll say, well, we're going to the doctor. But when we start saying, you know what, I don't feel myself. You know what, I'm struggling to get up in the morning. You know what, I've got this family member who's just pulling at me and I just cannot take it anymore. I've just had this child and I'm feeling depressed and everyone's telling me I should be happy. Or I'm in this relationship and something's telling me it's not right and I feel confused and conflicted. We don't want to talk about that. We can talk about going to the doctor and the doctor told us that like, we've got diabetes, that we've got cancer, et cetera. And we will raise funds. We will go to the churches. We will speak about that. But speak about Alison not being able to cope.
Yeah.
It is still a very taboo subject because it's seen as a weakness. But like a car, imagine trying to drive a car without an engine.
Yeah.
Right. And if your mind is not in gear, if your mind is not settled or stable, it's very difficult to perform at, to fulfill the roles well. You can do it for a short period of time, but you're not going to be able to do it too far. So it is really key. And I want to really hone the reason why we have that wellness clinic is saying I might just be going through a bad day, or I might be going through a bad month, or just a long extended period of time. And someone's saying, you know what? It's okay. Let's try and see what we can do to help this. Because as I always say, once there's breath in their nostrils, in our nostrils, there's always hope. Mental wellness is key. How could we have got to a situation where we are waiting, where we've had to face a crisis like COVID-19 to start talking about mental wellness? We were struggling from before.
Yeah.
We were not coping.
Actually, and so, I just thought of asking you this. What about this, the very self-care of the staff who deal with a multiplicity of problems presented by clients?
Right. And I'm glad you raised that because we cannot be asking the employers. We do have a very good working relationship with Corporate Barbados, and we actually go and do some training, especially with the human resource personnel there, on how to identify staff who may be going through things, how to provide an environment to help. We can't be asking people to do things that we're not willing to do ourselves. So trust me, and I know any staff member who's listening, we have wellness days. We allow a person just, as I say, just tap out of reality. It doesn't have to be anything long or drawn out. I don't need to know all the intricate details, but sometimes you know that we can have what we call compassion fatigue. We worked very closely with the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, especially in the height of COVID-19, because of that physician burnout, where doctors and nurses are seeing time and time again, and then they've got their family at home. It's a real thing. And it's so key that if we don't work on mental wellness, that we will be in an even more dysfunctional community. And therefore, how are we going to raise young people?
Yeah.
If we can't focus on, yes.
Yeah. I love how you talked about, you referred to the fact that we have no problem dealing with the neck down, right? And issues, medical issues, but the brain is the epicenter of all that we do. All that drives us, all that motivates us, you know, sleep, coordination, vision. And the brain doesn't actually fully develop till about age 24, 25.
Correct. Exactly. So, and that's why it's so key to even help those adolescents. Because as I say, it's like the brain not developing is like someone pressing an accelerator and not having the brakes in the car.
Yeah.
So, you know, consequential thinking, judgment, risk taking are all areas and keys. And it's so important for us to interrupt that process at times and also tell young persons and encourage young persons to create it, to have an environment where they can actually speak what's on their mind, what's going on, without fear of judgment, without fear of, you know, going up to psyche in inverted commas, because there's a stigma there of being labeled as mad, right?
Yeah. Well, we have still a long ways to go in terms of changing the narrative and saying about the psychiatric hospital, just as we talked about the QEH, we still have a long way to go in terms of resetting, you know, or changing our mindsets that it's okay. It's okay. All of us are going to have some problems and challenges, some greater than others, but we all need somebody to talk to. Definitely. Oliver, do we have to take a break?
We do, madam.
Okay.
And the program Mental Health Matters comes to you with the kind compliments of Sagicor Financial Corporation.
Sometimes it feels that tears apart are the ones that unite us and bring us closer together.
Where there is life, let's keep on dreaming. Where there is love, let's find you.
A message from Sagicor.
10 minutes before 4 o'clock, we go back to the very engaging discussion, Mental Health Matters with Tessa and Allison.
Right. So, gosh, there's so much we could say about treatment. Unfortunately, we lost Teen Challenge. I still feel that Barbados doesn't have, well, let me ask you this. What is your total capacity for both men and women in terms of residential care?
Okay, so we can, at Verdon, our capacity is 50 men. At Marina, it's 16 women. As I said, it's a smaller compound and it does work well with women, especially when we're looking at being gender specific. Teen Challenge was a great loss, but all hope is not lost. As I would have mentioned, we have been really working. If anyone needs to look into the media to see what we have been doing with our young, it is key to have our youth and have a youth family manager that will come from Trinidad that is working very closely to really help young persons and to understand the importance of engaging them at those critical and crucial ages. We could not do it. I could not sleep with ease knowing that we had family members who were crying out for help. And for our residential, we could only take them on 18 years and over. It was key that we set up a program, set up an initiative, had the family center where we can deal with those younger persons who really do need our help. So it is key that we continue to expand. We have over 40 years experience with the staff here at Verdon and Marina House. And with our rebranding, where we are always known as, it was always known as Substance Abuse Foundation Healing from Addiction, we are now called Spaces of Hope and Healing. So wow. With that, where we create spaces of hope and healing, it is from a young person to a family member, to a father, a mother. Because I do remember recently that our Prime Minister has stated she wished she had a blank check that she could set up a residential care for young persons who are just at risk, who may be going through emotional and mental challenges, and it is key. And when I saw that, I was like, well, here we are already being ahead of the game by creating that. There is no reason that we can't help the community of Barbados to be a better Barbados. We're doing a phenomenal job, but agencies like Verdon and Marina House continue to grow and expand, not for our own purpose, but because we know the need is great.
Listen, our young people, our children need so much care and so much help. Mm-hmm. And there's so much I can say, but many of them are parenting themselves.
Exactly. And that's many so them, that is
many of them are running from abusive environments.
Definitely. Definitely. Right. Definitely.
Oliver, I don't know if we have any callers.
Not at this time, ma'am. Not as yet.
Okay. Okay. But Allison, I am, the time goes so fast. I'm looking and it's 3:54. So one of my questions to you is, what advice would you offer a family who has a loved one in need of treatment, whether that's alcoholism or drug addiction? How do they set about encouraging that relative to get care? Or does that person have to hit rock bottom for change to occur?
One of the key things I would always advise, and I would have mentioned this before, is exactly what our drop-in center is called. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are one of many. And I know sometimes it can feel in a society which can sometimes stigmatize, you know, challenges and issues as you not being good enough. But reaching out to our helpline on 243-0038 would be a good first step. What we can do is to as I said before, connect you with our intervention team. You may just have someone who gives you a listening ear. We can speak to you about, you know, the resources, the services that we provide. And it's just, you know, just reach out to us. It's 24 hours. There's no excuse. If you can't stay too long on that phone, we will call you back. And it's just about helping persons and understanding that you are not alone, that there is help out there. Verdon and Marina House, not just because I work there, are doing phenomenal work, and therefore we are here to help you. Addiction has thrived in crisis. Mental health is paramount, especially at a time like this, and to normalize that we're all going through something and no person can do it by themselves. We've got to take off that mindset of, well, I'll just get it sorted myself and I'll just close my, you know, work and try and do it behind closed doors. All you need to say is, I need help.
I think that personal admission and acknowledgement that I have come to a place where I'm at a loss, and you know, every facet of my life is unmanageable. I think the recognition by the individual, it must start there.
Definitely.
Yeah. Your success rate, people always ask, well, how successful are you? Because people relapse, right? Mm-hmm. People fall off the bandwagon. They're clean for 3 years. They're clean for, you know, a year. Have you been able to measure that over time?
As I said, we have been. We don't stop. We're constantly doing our research, how we can tweak and what we can do better. What I would say is, you're dealing with human beings, right? And the disease of addiction can be very cyclical in nature. And I've always said that if you get somebody, even if they are a year in recovery and then they relapse, right? They had a year of manageability. And sometimes what we tend to do is when we see someone returning back, it can sometimes be deemed as a failure. It's not a failure, because sometimes you need to look for the fact that it actually asks for help again. Success rate is so, it's hard to measure when it comes to human beings and human beings' life. And sometimes you can look at things like harm reduction, where they were at the beginning, and what we found in our research, we have to look at it in terms of the impact it had on society. So that person being clean or in recovery for a period of time, what impact did it have on their family, on their relationships, on their work, and, you know, what jobs were they able to obtain? We also have to look at society, where there's someone who before were committing crimes and now they haven't for that period of time. That to me is still a success. And as I said, whether it's once it's breath in your nostrils, it's always hope. But what I'm not going to do is to turn people away or condemn persons when they have a lapse, when they have, no one's perfect.
So if Oliver came to you, if I could use him as an example, 10 times, you will take him back. He is struggling, but you will take.
What we would do is, we don't close our doors. The individual counseling, the individual services that we provide may change and tweak according to Oliver's situation. But what I'm not going to do, because I have to look at it and say, that could be my family member. That could be me. That could be any of us. And as I said, addiction is no respecter of persons. And by extension, neither is mental health.
Correct. So finally, why does treatment work? Treatment is costlier. We haven't yet talked about cost. Treatment is costlier than prevention. And we do need a range of treatment services for different populations. You know, why does treatment work?
treatment works because if you save one person, you saved a family. I cannot tell you how many times I just drive through Verdant and Marina House and see the changed lives. I always say, we are clinicians, we're not magicians, but trust me, we see miracles day in, day out. When you hear those success stories, we recently just hearing persons who you saw them coming in and how ashamed they were, right? How downtrodden, how broken they were. And for them to be able to say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you that my dad's returned. Thank you that we were able to have a Christmas. Thank you that we can celebrate Father's Day because I did not even know that he was going to be alive. So when we talk about investment, it appears costly, but you need to look at the repercussions of that, right? When we see crime rates going down, when we see families restored, when we see persons who are now managing their lives, when we see persons at work being able to execute their job roles at a level that they never did before, when we've got doctors and nurses being able to cope and be of service to their patients and not be struggling with physician burnout, these are things that we need to look at. And that has no value on it.
But just let me say that each time I have visited Verdun, and it has been many times, it's always almost like a life-changing moment for me, especially to hear the stories of the men mm-hmm. and the trauma they have been through from childhood, the risks that they took. But then a transformation is like, it's almost like a metamorphosis when they realize that I cannot continue to live like this. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, and I guess for you, it's there's also a deep spiritual element to Definitely. to that metamorphosis.
Definitely.
On these words, and I need to close because it's 4:02, and I know Oliver will soon tap me and said, you know, time's up. But I want to thank you so much for sharing. You know, the operations at Verdun and Marina House, and also to inform the public that you have rebranded and you are offering different types of services. The 24/7 hotline is a definite need for people, because as I said, when people are in crisis and they want to reach out, it might be 2-3 in the morning, who do you call? So I'm so happy to hear about that and the other components that cater to adolescents and to children, and to know that people can also join a Zoom chat, as you mentioned, wellness. I can't remember the name of the program.
Wellness clinic, yes.
Wellness clinic. So Allison, I want to express my deep gratitude to you. Next week, I can't wait to hear. And I want the public to know that we will be hearing from two people in recovery, phenomenal success stories, one a male, one a female. And they will tell us about their journey. And they are amazing individuals.
They are.
You know of whom I speak.
Of course.
I want to close and thank you and thank all the staff at both Verdun and Marina House for everything they do on a daily basis. And again, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. It was a pleasure, Allison.
Thank you, Tessa.
Okay, bye-bye.
And the program Mental Health Matters came to you with the kind compliments of Sagicor Financial Corporation.
Sometimes it feels that tears apart. Closer together. Sometimes a darkest night turns into a day so bright, leaving the scars and the pain, everything that we fear behind us.
Come, sunshine.
from Sagicor.